Deuteronomy chapter number 4. In chapter 4, here's a great reminder to the nation of Israel about all that God has done, but also a warning to them not to forget what He's done. Notice chapter 4, verse 1, if you will. It says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments," yes, "which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Notice verse 2. "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord your God is in all things that we call upon Him for? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" Now notice verse 9. "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." There's a great warning or admonition to the nation of Israel not to forget all that God has done. Now, you and I know this as human beings. We have this tendency just to forget all of the good things. I said this a while back, but isn't it fascinating to you that the adversary brings up all the bad things, right? Well, I remember this time and that time and this time. What about all the good times? What about all the good things? We talked about this on Wednesday evening a little bit, but the nation of Israel had forgot all that God had done for them. And if we're not careful, if we don't take consistent time in the Bible, we'll forget what God has done and we start to fret and worry. Well, what's going to happen this time? How are we going to make it ends meet this time? What's going to go on? Hey, don't forget all that God did in the past. He's faithful. He's just. Now think about this memorial or in memory today of all that God did as we think and look back on all the people that gave their lives for us to sit here today. Don't ever forget that. Just to be here. Again, I say this often, but we get letters and messages from some of our missionaries that we support. And it's very, very hard to read some of them because these people have nothing. I mean, nothing. They walk to church. They have a handful of rice and beans to eat. I mean, when they have a function like this that we have at church, it's not hot dogs, bratwurst, and other things, soda pop. I mean, it's literal water, and maybe some lady killed one of her chickens or a goat or something and brought it. You think about now, we are blessed beyond measure. Do you remember? I want to encourage you to think back and remember what God has done. Now, this warning to Israel is very interesting because He says, "I'm going to give you all that I told you I would give you." God has promised something. He will keep His word. And He says, here's the thing. When you get into a nation or into, the land of bounty and plenty, the natural thing is that you start to forget. See, you don't get on your knees and pray, and I don't get on my knees and pray when I got money in the bank and everybody's healthy, when everything's going pretty well. It's only when we go through difficult seasons in life. Now, if it's due to our own sinfulness, then you got to deal with the consequences. But if you're living for God and there are still problems in your life and still difficulties, then that's what's driving you to get closer to Him. And sometimes we got to see that. Now, think about this today. He says, don't forget. Take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. What is that? That's called personal responsibility. Something lacking today in our world. Personal responsibility. I heard one pastor recently, he said, it's time to take the bib off and put on the apron. Stop that. Everyone's feeding you. Oh, if they don't treat me right, if I don't get what... No, you put on the... Serve. I want to serve. What can I do? Lord, how can I be used for you? What is it? Now, the nation of Israel, we know, is a great picture and example for us. They go on to do great things for God, but we also know that they began to disobey God, didn't they? He said, take heed to what I told you. And they said, okay, we got it. Later they say, hey, Samuel, we want a king like the other nations. By the way, you gotta never compare yourself. Be careful with your social media because it's always comparing. This friend has this. Their marriage looks great and their kids are so squeaky clean. It's not. It's all fraud. It's fake. He's at the gym every day working out and posting pictures. Hey, go back home and take care of your family. He forgets to mention that part. It is all this comparison today. And the nation of Israel says, hey, Samuel, give us a king like those around us. Samuel says, no, God is your king. Well, we know that, but we want a king. Isn't that us? Well, we know that. I asked someone just recently, hey, I'd love to see you in church. Haven't seen you in a while. You need to be in church, basically was I was getting at. Well, I know that. I said, why aren't you in church? You know, if you know it, why aren't you doing it? And they come forward and they get a king and all the things that happen. And they later will fall into, we're going to look at this, Lord willing, on Wednesday. They fall into the captivity that's found. Why? They forgot what God could do. They forgot who God was. I'm reminded of that story of two brothers. And one of the brothers died. And they were having a memorial service for the brother. And these two brothers were not good men. They were rotten guys. And everybody in town knew it. They stole and cheated and everything else. And the brother came to the pastor and he said, now, pastor, I want you to say a lot of nice things about my brother at his funeral service, memorial service. And the pastor said, well, I don't want to lie, but I'll try my best. You know, he says, well, listen, you need to say a lot of good things about him or else. He was kind of a bully, you know. He said, okay. So the pastor got up, did his, you know, formalities and all that stuff. And he said, here lies Brother Joe. Brother Joe was a good man. To those of you that knew him, he was a liar. And the brother on the front row went, and he was a cheater, and he was no good, and he stole your money, and he was this and that, yellow belly lion, no good, and all these things. And the brother on the front row is just, I mean, he's beat red. He's just, I'm going to kill that pastor. And then the pastor concluded with this, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. So now, I don't know what happened after the service, but I wouldn't want to be around for that. Isn't that true, though? Jeremiah 2 and verse 32, the Lord says, my people have forgotten me. My people, which I saved, which I gloriously, miraculously brought out of captivity, out of Egypt, out of all the things, now we're back into it. He says, they've forgotten me. We're warned in James chapter 1, verse 25. He says, James puts it this way. He says, be not a forgetful hearer of the word. See, if you're like me, I gloss over the Bible. I'm right now memorizing Scripture. I try to do that in my daily devotional time, memorizing Scripture. I don't do a very good job of it. And I got chapter, when I memorize Paul, have you ever tried to memorize Paul's writings? My goodness. Sometimes I don't know what he's saying. And I'm going, Paul, why did you word it that way? I have no idea. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he switches it to the saints who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm going, okay, hang on. It's hard to memorize. But if you're not like me, I kind of gloss over it sometimes. And James says, listen, don't be a forgetful hearer of the word. Read the word, study the word, but then here's the most important part of the Bible, which most people forget or fail to do. They don't apply the word. They don't do the word. The whole emphasis James is saying there in chapter 1 and 2 is that we would be doers of the word. You actually do the word. If the nation of Israel would have done what God said, now you notice that he says in verse 2 of our text, you don't add to or diminish from what I told you. We got a lot of people today that are adding to the Bible or diminishing. That means watering it down. Diminish doesn't necessarily mean remove words. It means just watering it down. I know what the Bible says, but I had an old man one time tell me that. I know what the Bible says, but you don't know what I experienced. I said, no, I don't, sir. I said, but we got to be careful. We got to stick with the Bible. He says, well, I know what the Bible says, but boy, I had this vision. I had this dream. I had this thing. And I said, did it coincide with the Bible? He said, no, it goes against the Bible. We have to be very careful, don't we? We come back to this. Listen, I know you listen to people on TV and podcasts and everything else, but be careful. Are they following the book? I saw these miracles in the sky and other things. Okay. But let's come back to the Bible. Does it match the Bible, right? That we stick to the Bible. And God said, don't diminish from it. Don't add to it. You keep what I told you to do. Why? So that you can see what I will do. He says, don't forget. Remember what I did there at Baal Peor. Remember how I helped you through that difficult season. Those of you that cleaved unto the Lord, those of you that stayed with the Lord, he says, you're here today. Those of you that didn't, they're not here. We see the judgment of God. I want to remind you of this. God is not asleep today. God's eyes are not closed. His ears are not shut. He knows what you're doing. He knows your sin, and there is judgment for that sin. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? It's a sobering reality. You wonder why you can't get ahead in life, why you can't just seem, it seems like you're always spinning your wheels. Are you doing what God told you to do? Are you a forgetful hearer? You read the Bible, you study it, but do you do it? Oh, a convicting thought to me. Go with me to Numbers chapter 11. Let's go there. Numbers. Because I want you to see this here. Go back in your Bible to Numbers chapter 11. Did I say that? I didn't say that. Numbers 11. Numbers 11 verse 4. Well, notice what happens. Numbers 11 verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now notice this. It's always about the flesh, their bodies. Verse 5, we remember. Isn't it funny what they remember and what they forget? They remember what? The fish, which we did eat in Egypt. Freely! The cucumbers. Oh, I like cucumbers. The melons. Yeah, I like melons. The leeks. The onions, the garlic, and now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside, notice, this manna before our eyes. Notice that. It's funny what they remember, but what they forget. If you're like me, it's funny what I can remember, but what also I forget. See, they forgot about all that God did and all of His goodness, but they remembered what? These things that they just stated are pictures of or types of materialism. They're types of the flesh. Now, notice. These are necessities. It's food, fish, and melons, garlic. But he says, now we loathe, later on they'll say, we loathe this manna. Manna is a great picture of God's provision. And if you are not careful, you and I can get very bored with God's provision. And it's as soon as the moment you start to get bored with the things of God, it's right on the cusp. You're right on the edge of God doing something very great in your life. And see, what he does is he's testing you. I found this out so many times in my life. When I start to get real bored with church, I guess the mundane things, the regular old thing, it's monotonous to me. That's right when God's about to do something and he's testing us. Are you okay with the manna? Yes, sir. Are you okay with the manna? Oh, it's good. So glad you provided that, Lord. Well, 56 days later, are you okay with the manna? What do we do? See, in America, we know this. We're so blessed that we actually have something called variety. We have choices. You can go right now, today. We don't have just one kind of hot dog. We have three or four kinds of hot dogs. We have variety. That's a privilege. That's not a right. Variety is something special. But you go to the other nations. Again, 75% of the world today lives in poverty. And you go to these nations around the world. They don't have variety. They don't have choices. What do you want to eat today, kids? It's rice or beans. You know, they don't have choices. And that has really ruined us as Americans. That's ruined every nation when they begin to get in that state of being. And they said, now we remember... Notice all the good things. That's what the adversary does. That's what your flesh does. I remember all those good things. I said Wednesday night, you got to be careful, because what he does, when you think back on your past, you remember all the good things and the fun things, don't you? Being with that girl, man, that was fun. Being with those, that was awesome, wasn't it? Man, I love going out Friday night and doing the boot, scoot, and boogie or whatever you do. You know, that was fun. Man, but don't forget, he failed to remind you that you sat on your bed the next week contemplating putting a bullet in your mouth, right? I mean, none of you did, but I'm telling you, I deal with somebody just recently that called me and said that very thing. I kid you not, that very thing. I don't want to wake up tomorrow. Every morning when I open my eyes, I'm depressed. I don't want to live, right? You deal with those things. Now think about it. That's what the adversary does. He says, now listen, here's all the things you're missing out on. Go to chapter 21 of Numbers. Just a few of these highlights here and then we'll wrap it up. Numbers 21 and verse 4. Notice what it says. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people, notice here it is, was much discouraged. You got to underline that word there in your Bible, discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Question mark. For there's no bread. Here we go again. Neither is there any water. And our soul, notice. So they went from, we really just sick of the bread, to now notice, loatheth. We loathe this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and they bit the people and much people of Israel died. See, there's judgment. You're complaining, you're griping, you're bemoaning. God's displeased with that. And that's pointed right at me this morning. You're complaining, griping, constant complaining about everything. If you keep it up, God will just take that away, doesn't he? Now, most of you know that. God has a very gentle way. He's not a God of just slamming the door. Now, there's times that he does that to get our attention, but he's a very gentle God, slow to anger, the Bible says. He has a very gentle way of just kind of removing things from us, kind of just removing our health, kind of just removing a material thing in our lives. Now, think about it. They're much discouraged by the way. This word discouraged is something that will cause us to, notice, forget all that God has done. That's what he wants to do. You're trying to, this morning, our emphasis is our memorial, remembering what God has done for us. And one thing that is used in our lives is something called discouragement. You ought to look that word up in your Bible. The Bible refers to this same word, discourage, in the New Testament in the book of Colossians. And it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." The word discourage, the prefix D-I-S means without, and courage. Our kids today have no courage. It doesn't mean they walk around all bold and say, "I have courage." No, it's that they're depressed, they're introverted, they have no self-confidence. Isn't that true? In fact, they don't even know what gender they are. They can't figure that out. They can't figure out what bathroom to go into. They can't figure out where to go, what to do. And I'll keep it at that. I'll be careful what I say. Isn't that true, though? Now think about this. He says they're discouraged, and he says be careful about discouragement because the adversary, your flesh and the world, will use this. If you try to live in the world and also with the Lord, Jesus puts it very carefully. He says this, you cannot do both because you will either love the one and hate the other or hold to the one and despise the other. And those of you that have tried that, you know that. Straddling the fence. Because the world puts all these desires in our hearts. And then we come to the old manna. You know what manna represents? This right here. We come to the old manna, don't we? And those heretical, worldly, ungodly people, they see this old Bible as boring. If you're getting real bored in your Bible reading, you got to get yourself on fire, man. Figure something else out. Read it backwards, upside down, do something. One guy felt, he said, "I've been reading my Bible backwards." I said, "You have?" And then I caught on. I said, "Oh, you mean from Revelation that way. Okay, I gotcha." You're reading it backwards. I mean, do something. Get yourself on fire for God with this. I mean, quit hem-hawing around and thumbing through the Bible trying to figure out what version to use. Get yourself a good old King James Bible, wink, wink, amen? Get yourself a good old King James Bible and start reading it, memorizing it, studying it, and getting your kids in a circle at night and quit. Turn that stinking TV off and your phone off. Pointing to myself here. And get in the Bible. Those of you that are older in here, you wish you could do it again with your kids. You wish you could go back and do it again. And turn off Nickelodeon and Disney and get them in the book. Well, they got to do something. They get on my nerves. And we wonder why they grow up at 21 years old. And you go, "Hey, you want to come over?" "No." "You want to hang out?" "No." "Can you bring the grandkids over?" "No." We got to get in the book. Why? Because if not, we get discouraged in the way and we start looking at the old manna and we say, "I loathe this nonsense. I loathe this stuff. I want the garlic. I want the melons. I want the good stuff." Oh, friends, but guess what? They failed to remember that they were slaves. And that's exactly the old bait and hook that the adversary uses. See, everything that glitters ain't gold. And those fish see that lure come by and they go, "Ooh, that looks good." Till they bite into it, right? Ugh. Except when I fish, I don't catch nothing. I mean, the fish literally go up to the hook and nibble on it, take the bait off, and they swim off. You know, I'm going, I reel it in, there's nothing on it. This is exactly what the adversary does. Psalm 20, verse 7, he says, "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will" what? "Remember the name of our Lord." Notice it doesn't say trust in the Lord. It says remember the name of the Lord. It's when we take concentrated time and effort to remember what God has done. Go with me to Matthew 16 and we'll wrap it up here. All the way to the New Testament, Matthew 16. Jesus points this out to the people. Matthew 16. Notice this with me. Some of you joining us online today, thank you for tuning in as well. Appreciate you. Some of our folks aren't feeling well today, so pray for them and they're watching us online. Matthew 16. Oh, let's see. Go down to verse 6. 16, I believe it is. 6. "Then said Jesus unto them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Notice this. "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread." Now, they weren't listening to what Jesus said. We got to be careful about that. We misinterpret what Jesus says if we're not paying attention. "Which," verse 8, "when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" He says, why are you thinking about that? Verse 9, "Do ye not yet understand, neither remember," there's our word today, "the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" Now notice again, he says, you forgot about what I've already done. I've proven to you, if God has proven to you just one time that he's faithful and will answer your prayers, you can trust him. None of us, you can't trust any of us. None of us. And you shouldn't trust anybody, by the way. You don't trust anybody, okay? Trust but verify, some people say, okay? You should trust the Lord. Come back to this. He said, do you not remember what I did? Do you not remember on two different occasions how I provided and how many baskets ye took up? See, Jesus always does over and above. It's never half full or half empty if you're a pessimist. It's always over and above, isn't it? He lets the cup run over a little bit. There's a couple restaurants in town, and when they give you one particular, I won't say the name, but when they give you your burger and fries, they actually pour the basket of fries, not only in the little pouch, but they pour it in the bag. And so the fries are all in the bottom of the bag as well as in the pouch. I like that. That's good. They give you. You go to one of ours here local, they give you a little bitty thing of fries and it's not even filled up. And I want to reach in there through the drive-through window and grab that kid, you know. You didn't fill it up, buddy. And they're cold, by the way. I got me one of them Big Macs the other day. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but a Big Mac. And I thought, I haven't had a Big Mac in a while. Let me try one of those. By the way, they're like $8, right? And they're smaller. Remember, Brandon, when they used to be big? I mean, they used to be big. And I got it, and the guy must have taken the squirt gun. Have you seen these things? Like a caulking gun with the sauce? And they go, pfft. He must have done like four times on that thing. It was just nat. And I grabbed it, and it just, anyways. And then on top of that, I was trying to drive while I was eating, and I hit a bump. I was coming to church. I hit a bump, boom, because I was driving with my knee. And that Big Mac fell out on the floor of the car. And I was so mad. And I promise you, I didn't say any bad words, but I was mad. And I picked it up and I blew on it and I just ate it. Amen? Okay, that's good. Now, how that ties in, I don't know where I got off on a rabbit trail. He says, do you not remember now? Do you not remember? My friends, can I encourage you today? And I know you don't need a reminding of the reminding, but we remember what God's done. Here's a good exercise and practice for all of us. You ought to sit down with a little legal pad and just write out things God has done for you recently. And it's the smallest of things. I woke up this morning, right? My kids are pretty healthy. I had the dreaded privilege of visiting a child in the cancer side of the hospital. I do not want to do that. You ever been there? I do not want to go there. But sometimes I have to do that. Lord, thank you for my health. And thank you, Lord, we have something to eat and a roof over our heads and clothes. I mean, it sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? But boy, it'll lift your spirit. And you think about that. And I'm saying these things to help us to remember and say, hey, God, help me to remember and not forget. Could you imagine doing all these things for an individual? And some of you parents know how this is. And raising a child and putting your blood, sweat, and tears into those children and all of that. And they grow up and they just turn their back on you. Do you not remember? Do you not remember what I've done? Have you not thought about what I've done? How many times do I do that to the Lord? Luke 24, verse 6, he talks about, he says the same thing. He says, remember how he spake unto you? Those people were fretting and worried in Luke 24 after Jesus came and rose from the dead. And they said, well, what happened? I don't know. They stole his body. I don't know what's going to happen. And what happens? The angel comes and says, remember how he spoke to you? Remember what he said to you while he was alive? Do you remember what he told you? And the people said, no. Remember how he told you on several occasions he'd rise from the dead and how he'd be victorious over the grave? No. And if you don't understand the Bible and remember all that God has done and claim the promises of God, you and I will be just like those people, discouraged and frustrated. I'll wrap it up here in Revelation 2, verse 5 in particular. Jesus is talking to the church. He says, remember from whence you are fallen. Oh, yes, thank you. Remember from whence you are fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now notice, remember, this church had fallen away from what's called the first works of doing the basics. A church can very quickly, and we have to watch this constantly here, but can very quickly get away from the first works, the basics. And it becomes this show, it becomes this celebratory thing, it becomes this almost a party atmosphere in a church. No, we get back to the basics. I know it sometimes, as I said before, gets a little laborious and mundane, but that's what God wants us to do. Get back to where we're supposed to be. And when you feel the joy of the Lord and the Holy Spirit in this place, you understand it. We get back to soul winning. We get back as we're walking through. We're hopefully going to get back to this next week. We get back to exalting the Savior, share the gospel, preach the word, make disciples, serve the Lord, love one another. The basics. He says, come back to that. Remember. But see, God's not going to twist our arms to remember. He wants us to remember. See, that's called the free will. He created us not as robots. He created us as human beings with a free will because that's where true love comes from. I can't force you to love me. You can't force me to love you. It comes from the heart, doesn't it? And you never know that. I didn't know that until a little 2-year-old walks up and sits on the couch next to me and puts her little arm around my neck. She looks, she shakes my head. You. I say, what? She goes, I love you. You know that? That's real love, isn't it? She's got nothing in her heart. She's not wanting anything. Not yet. She's not wanting any money, anything, right? Your parents and grandparents know that. That comes from the heart. Jesus says, remember, you come back and remember all that God has done. Would you do that with me? Brother Adam, do you have that picture? I don't know if we have that. Yes, I wanted to share this with you. This is something really interesting for me and our family, but this is my great uncle, Clifford. He was shipped out back in 1941 overseas to the Philippines during World War II. And over there, he was captured and he was put in the Bataan Death March. And he eventually died in that, in the Philippines in 1942. And our family, my great-grandmother, this is her brother, and they never recovered his body or anything. They didn't know anything about it. All they got was the telegram that came home and said, sad to tell you, your brother Clifford, son Clifford has died in war. Well, just last year, they did some testing. They found basically mass graves over there of what they believed to be our soldiers. Well, they did some DNA testing on several of these bones and come to find out, they found him. Isn't that wonderful? 82 years he's been gone. Well, anyways, they found him. They brought back the remains that they could gather, you know, probably not much, and they brought it back home. Well, they grew up in Colorado, southern Colorado is where we're from. Kind of they homesteaded up there, and then they eventually moved down here to Albuquerque. But they're having a giant celebration for him coming up in June, on June the 30th in Colorado. The governor is coming down. They're having this, it's this huge thing that they're doing. They put them on the news and everything. And I just thought I'd wanted to share that with you on Memorial Day. Isn't that cool? And they brought home many of these soldiers. I don't know how many, but many of them they've identified and brought them back home. But he's kind of a local hero in our region. And he's my great uncle. Is it great uncle? Not great, great uncle, great uncle. And I'm just glad I thought about sharing that today. And I thought, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. But anyways, that's coming up. But thinking about that, these individuals like this that gave their lives for our freedom, right? And some of them never even got to come home. And I'm so glad to be here today. Let us remember today all that God has done for us. Can we do that? All right. Well, thank you for listening today. Would you stand with me, please?